It's so good to see everybody. I'm glad you guys are here. Let me ask this question very quickly. Have you ever had something that you needed to pray about? Say yes. You're laughing at me like that's a stupid question. We're in church. We're at least all pretending to be Christians right now. And we have things to pray about. Yeah, well, let me ask this. Let's just go through a hypothetical real quick. Not that this actually ever happened to me, but, you know, let's go through a hypothetical. Let's pretend like we were in middle school together. Let's all go to middle school together. Some of you remember that. Okay, so middle school, best time of your life, I'm sure. And so in middle school, and let's just go from a guy's perspective because it's a hypothetical situation, and I got the microphone. So let's do it like this. There's a girl across the classroom, and you want to go talk to her, but you're not really sure if God wants you to. Okay, so you got this dilemma, right? You got this dilemma. So you get a quarter. Remember what quarters look like? Here's a quarter. And so, okay, well, if I get five heads, that means God wants me to go talk to her. That's one. All right. I don't know if you've ever experienced a prayer like this. No, so apparently God doesn't want me to go talk to her. Let's try it one more time. Five. We got to get five in a row. There's one. Okay. All right, God. You got to give me the courage. There's two. Things are getting... Okay. Oh, there's three. Now, I'm not... you're like, he's joking. I'm serious. This is three in a row. That's pretty amazing. Let's go one more. That's a tail. So apparently God does not want me to go talk to her. I don't know if you ever had that type of experience. Do you remember the magic eight ball? Yeah, you're super excited about it. So did you know that there's an app. There's a Magic 8-Ball app. And some of you are like, yeah, I know that. So let's ask the 8-Ball a question. Well, give me a question from over here. You're not over here. You're not. We'll get to you. A question from over here. Should I go fishing? I'm going to answer that for you, yes. Okay, but after the service, and you should take me. That's done. Okay, well, let's ask. Should you go fishing? Count on it. There you go. Okay. Where it's got to be like a yes, no type question. So should you go to lunch where? At Pizza Hut. I got an answer for that one. And it's no. Okay. All right. So... we are broadcasting live right now. We do not endorse any restaurants or anything like that, but no. Okay. So I don't know if you approach prayer like that. I don't know if you've ever approached prayer like that. Hopefully you've matured a little bit and you don't lean on things like that anymore to answer prayer. But I do think this is kind of common for us. This is what we're going to talk about this morning, is this idea of deliverance and how David approached it. And I think that it's interesting to me to think about it this way. Like, you and I approach prayer typically in a certain way, but David, we're talking about King David from the Old Testament, the greatest king of Israel's history, King David, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the man after God's own heart, King David, the one that's in the direct lineage of Jesus. Like, we're talking about this man, when he approached prayer for situations, he didn't necessarily do it the way you and I do it. You see, sometimes most of us, we approach prayer as a spectator and not an actor. We approach prayer as a spectator and not an actor. And so we can illustrate it like this. You know, July is coming, and then we're going to have that great night, 4th of July. So, you know, 4th of July, you get your chair out, maybe you're at the park or something, get you something to drink, and, you know, you're going to sit back, and you just, all right, let's begin. And so we wait like this with prayer sometimes. We're just waiting, like we pray about it, and then we're just waiting for this show, for this big ta-da to happen. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And that's not necessarily the way King David approached prayer, especially when he prayed for things like deliverance. You see, we're not wrong in that. Like sometimes God does answer prayers miraculously, right? Like we see it in Scripture. Peter was in prison, the church was praying, and the chains fell off and Peter was free. Sometimes you'll hear stories about somebody who was diagnosed with a tumor and they prayed and the church prayed and people gathered and they go back and the tumor is gone and it's a miraculous healing. And sometimes God flexes his arm and we are amazed at what he's doing. And sometimes he acts in the midst of our acting. Sometimes God acts in the midst of our acting. But sometimes he flexes his arm and shows how powerful he is. But let me ask this question, though. Let's put it this way. So the person that has been diagnosed with cancer, but then they go through three rounds of chemo, and then the cancer is gone, has God not been involved in answering that prayer? The person that is addicted to some kind of a substance, and then they go through a 12-step process, a program, and it takes them a year to go through this and the accountability, and finally they're clean. Has not God answered that prayer? And I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. Yes. Sometimes God flexes his mighty arm, and sometimes he acts in the midst of our acting. We see this with David quite a bit. As he begins his reign, he prays in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 29, it'll be up on the screen. He says this, says, "Now therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and what your blessing shall, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." So praying for success, praying that his lineage would continue on, praying that God would answer these things. And then the very next chapter, in chapter 8, he says things like this in chapter 8, verse 1. After this, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. In verse 2, and he defeated Moab, and the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute to him. And chapter 2, or chapter 8, just goes on through several scenarios where David defeated the enemy. And so he prayed, "God, do this." And then he got up and he did something. Now think about that for a minute. David prayed and picked up his sword and went to battle. David prayed and did not sit back in his recliner waiting for God to do something amazing. He got up from his recliner and walked forward knowing what God wanted him to do. And there could be some of us this morning that God is going to act on your behalf in the midst of your acting. He is going to do something for you in the midst of your doing. Did David deliver himself, or was it God who delivered him? Yes, it was both. And there could be something in your life right now that you're like, "I need deliverance. I need strengthening. I need to be renewed. I need to be free from the brokenness. I need to be free from this pain that is in my life." I'm going to tell you, man, you need to get up out of your seat and march forward knowing what God has called you in to do. And knowing that God is not going to leave you, that God is not going to forsake you, that God has not given up on you, that God knows your name. He knows your problem. He says, "Get up out of your seat, go," and in the midst of your going, he's going to act on your behalf. That is the pattern that we see a lot of times throughout Scripture. But we sometimes are just content to sit back and wait and wait and wait. And God says, "Get up and move." He prayed, he picked up his sword, and he went to war, he went to battle, and then he wrote Psalm 18. So So flip over to Psalm 18 if you have a Bible with you, or turn on your phone or your app or what have you, and look at Psalm 18. We'll just skim through some of the things in Psalm 18. If you're going to use one of the Bibles that we provide for you, I believe you can find Psalm 18 on page 454. Little known fact, or maybe it's a big known fact, that maybe just take your Bible like this and open it right in the middle. Psalms falls right in the middle of your Bible, and then find chapter 18. Chapter 18 would come before 19. It would come after 17. I think you can figure it out. So it's Psalm 18, probably page 454, and he starts this psalm out with a declaration of surrender, a declaration of worship. He says in Psalm 18, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And then he goes on. This is after he's prayed for help. This is after 2 Samuel chapter 8, where he talks about defeating, where the scripture talks about defeating the Philistines and Moabites and others. And then he writes Psalm 18, talking about the deliverance that God has brought. And he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. Who saved him from his enemies? He says it was the Lord that saved him, but we see that it was David that did the fighting. David did the battle, but then he gives all credit to God. This is very real for me right now. This is very real for me right now because my dad has been dealing with liver cancer for quite some time. And we just got a report from the radiation doctor. Things were a little hit and miss and a little difficult this week, and we were really worried about Dad. And then my stepmom sends me a text message that says, good news, the radiation doctor just came in and said, your dad's cancer is shrinking and it's almost gone. And I said, amen, hallelujah, praise God. Yeah, you can clap for that. Go ahead. If you're going to clap, really clap. Like, all right, that's better. Okay, all right. So that's exciting, and that's true. And then I say, amen, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing what? For answering prayer. But he answered it through radiation. He is ultimately in charge. So don't just sit back and wait. Be confident in knowing what God has called you to do, or God has directed you to do, in whatever circumstance and situation that you find yourself in. Get up out of your chair, get up off your derriere, and go and do something for the glory of God. That should have got an amen. Come on, come on. We are not an amening church, are we? Are we? All right, we're going to change that eventually. All right, it's been 10 years. Been here 10 years, we haven't said an amen yet, but we're going to get there. No, seriously. Get up and do something, knowing that you are walking in the strength that God is providing. You're not doing it on your own, but you're doing something with an assurance that you know that God is pointing you in that direction. Surround yourself with men and women who love Jesus. Seek advice. Follow through. Get up and do something. Get out of the chair and walk forward. David delivered himself, or was it God who delivered him? I would say, yes, it is both. So who won David's battles? David would say it was God that won the battles. Look over in Psalm 18. Look at verse 32 very quickly. The God who equipped me with strength and made me blameless. And he says God's the one that equipped him with the strength. Look at verse 34. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Look at verse 39. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You trained me. You equipped me. You're the one that gets all the glory. God is the one who's made this happen. We are not spectators, but we are actors. God did not answer David's prayer apart from David's acting. He answered David's prayer through his acting. Now, what do you need to be delivered from today? What's going on in your life where you need to find deliverance, where you need to find freedom, where you know that there's a situation, that there's something going on in your life and it's beating you down and you can't get over it. What is that thing that's in your life today that needs deliverance? So how would we walk this out practically? I want to share with you a little acronym that I found in recently studying this idea. It's an acronym I'm borrowing from Dr. John Piper. I think it's a brilliant little acronym. It's called APTAT, APTAT. It's not a word. We'll just make it up, APTAT. Somebody say APTAT. Get out a pen, take your bulletin, write this down on the back. You're going to remember this is the best thing you've ever heard in your life right here, okay? APTAT, okay? Walking through this thing practically, deliverance, walking out my faith, living for Jesus. This thing applies across the board. There's something going on in your life, APTAT. What you need to do is admit. A is admit. Write this down. Admit. Admit that I am helpless without God. Admit that I am helpless without God. John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus talking. It talks about the vine and the branches, and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So when I'm facing a situation, when there's a thing going on in my life, admit. And that's hard, isn't it? Admit that you have no control over it. That's really difficult. It's really difficult for me. And I know for a lot of the guys in here, that might be very difficult. For some of the ladies as well, very difficult to give up control because you don't feel like you have security. But admit that you do not have control over this situation, over this circumstance, over that person that gets on your nerves, over that job, over that boss, over that whatever it is. Admit that you have no control over that. And apart from God, you can do absolutely nothing. And then the T. So first we're going to admit, and then the P. Then we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for help. I thought you didn't want to pray. No, absolutely. Let's pray. Let's commit this thing to prayer. Remember a verse similar to Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall, what? Glorify me. Pray. Whatever that situation is, put it to serious, focused prayer. Get some prayer warriors together. Call the elders in the church. Get your life group together. Get people dogging this thing in prayer. Just hounding this thing about with prayer. Just over and over. Keep it forefront of your friends. Hey, don't forget to pray for my dad. Hey, don't forget to pray for my marriage. Hey, don't forget to pray for this thing that's going on in my life. Don't forget to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Put it into serious prayer mode. And then the T. The T is trust. There it is. Who's that? I've been praying for that. Amen. Trust. Trust a specific promise. And this is where we fail a lot because we don't know the Word of God very well. Know the Word of God and look for those promises that are in the Word of God. You know, put into memory something like 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe those things that God has said, those promises that are not just promises that were for one particular person in one particular time that you find in Scripture, but promises that would transcend all across Scripture from that time into our time as well, from that day into our day. Look for the promises of God and then trust those promises. Trust him. I don't know what you need to be delivered from. I don't know what it is. But I do believe if we can put some of these principles together, it'll help. It'll help. So recently I was on a motorcycle journey. And so I arrived at this motorcycle club. We were doing a motorcycle event, a ministry event, and me and one of the guys here in the room and a bunch of other friends, we rode our motorcycles, get this, 3,277 miles. Somebody say 3,277 miles. And somebody say, that's a long way. That's a long way. Not 3,277 miles on a motorcycle is quite a journey. And so we met together. We took off on a Wednesday. We got out to Pensacola. We met up with some other guys. And then we rode up into Mississippi somewhere. I don't even know where we're at this point. It's pouring down rain. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we have so much further to go. Please deliver me. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. You're like, I've never been on the back of a motorcycle for 3,000 miles. But you've walked through life, haven't you? And you're like, I really, really need to get off of this. I really need to get out of this situation. It's pouring down rain. One of my friends almost runs his bike off into a ditch, water spewing everywhere. We get to the hotel. We pull up into the hotel, and lightning strikes, and this just ginormous thunder hits, and car alarms are going off. I'm like, Lord, deliver me from this motorcycle. The next morning, we get back on the bike because we hadn't had enough yet, and we're still going. We're still going, just like life. Just like life, you get up the next day, you get back on, and you keep going, and it stinks, doesn't it? It stinks. After a while, your shoulder starts burning. Other places start hurting. And I haven't sat down in a long time, you know what I'm saying? 3,277 miles. We get to this event, we do this event, and we do all this stuff, and it's a lot of fun, and we get to minister with people and get to share the gospel and do all kinds of different things that we get to do. We get to be encouraged and all of those things. And then we get on the motorcycles, and we continue on our journey, and my buddy hits a pothole and bends the rim on his bike. And then we're stranded in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. There's like hay fields and like one little farmhouse, and we go, and 3,277 miles. Sometimes life just sucks, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Hey, you can give me an amen on that, but not on the fact that God will do something. And sometimes you just want to get off the bike and you just want to check out and you just want to do something different. And sometimes you hit a pothole and you need deliverance, and God changes the direction of your life and changes the direction of your circumstance. And you're like, I don't really think this is a better direction, God. But I'm not really in control. You need to admit that you're out of control. And that only God is in control. You need to admit, and then you need to put it to prayer. Oh, Lord, get me off this bike at some point safely. And then you need to trust a promise. A particular problem needs a particular promise, and trust that promise. Believe that God has an answer, and then what do? You act. You act on that promise. You do something about it. You don't just wait passively. You get up out of the chair, and you walk forward in confidence, knowing that God gave you a promise, knowing that God has given you men and women around you that love Jesus and that are directing you, helping you to walk things out, knowing that you've prayed about it, that you've read scripture about it, that you understand the direction that God has taken you, and then act. And then finally, think. Thank God. Thank Him for His deliverance. Thank Him for bringing you through this situation. Psalm 40, verse 9 says, I have told the glad news. This is David talking. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. And if you were looking at that in your Bible, you would see that the word deliverance probably has a little number across the top of it, just a little footnote number. And if you were to look down at the bottom of the page of your Bible, you would see that that word deliverance actually in the Hebrew is what we would translate righteousness. So he says, I have told the glad news of righteousness. Well, I think that sentence kind of sounds odd. I have told the good news of righteousness. Why would we say deliverance? Because righteousness means right standing, things put into a right manner. And so what David is saying, I have told the congregation of my deliverance. I have told the congregation of how things were broken and how things were wrong and how you've made them right. And God's going to do that for you. I fully believe God will do that for you. So aptap, admit, pray, trust, and thank God. Admit, pray, trust, act and thank God. So what could it look like then? What could it look like then? It might look like that. It might look like that you have, maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you have a serious, I don't even want to clarify what's serious, because any of these addictions is serious. So you are addicted to porn. You are so addicted to porn that it shapes the way you think about people. It wrecks your relationships. You don't look at people the same way because you're just addicted to pornography. And so aptat that thing. Admit that you have no control over this and you can never accomplish what God is wanting you to do without God. You cannot do anything about it. Pray about that situation. Ask God to intervene. Pray. Get some other people around you to pray for you and to walk with you through this. Trust a specific promise. Maybe it's like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it talks about that God will give you a way out of temptation. And then act on that promise. Take your phone and throw it away. Take your phone, turn it off, shut the computer down, call somebody, act on it, and then thank God for your deliverance. Maybe you've got some marriage issues going on. Admit that you are helpless without God's intervention to get your marriage back on track. Commit this to serious prayer and get other faithful prayer warriors gathered around you to pray for this thing. Trust a promise such as Isaiah 43:19, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Act on that promise. Act on that promise by continuing to pursue your spouse, by continuing to love your wife, by continuing to show him respect. Then thank God for your deliverance. Maybe there's an issue, a health issue in your life. Admit that you are helpless without God's intervention to cure your sickness. Commit this to prayer for healing and deliverance. Trust 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then act on that promise by praying for healing, by seeking doctors, by looking for opportunities in your sickness to make much of who God is. And then thank God for your deliverance. Maybe you face loss. Maybe you're going through a time of loss. Maybe it's something that you had no control over, and admit that you are helpless without God's intervention. Commit this thing to prayer. Trust a promise such as Psalm 40:17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. Isn't that a beautiful promise? The Lord takes thought of me. I am not alone in this situation. In Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And then act. Act by surrounding yourself with other believers, by worshiping the Father, and then thank God that He is providing deliverance, and he has provided goodness. Aptat that thing. I don't know what it is in your life, but admit and pray and trust and act and think. Don't just sit there waiting for something to happen. Get up in the confidence of who God is and do something about it, knowing that God is leading you in a direction. And maybe it's like you've been on a motorcycle for 3,277 miles. And when you finally get home, you roll your bike into the garage. I don't know if it's going to be like this, man, but it's probably not going to be like this. But just for my sanctified imagination for just a second, maybe you ride your motorcycle down the streets of gold and you get to the mansion that God has provided for you. You roll that bike up in there, you shut the garage door, you get off of it, and you say, this life has been tough, but I thank God that you have delivered me through all of this mess. Do you think, amen, come on, do you think that when I got home that night after 3,277 miles, that I was thankful that I was alive and that I had a bed and that I could sleep in and Advil? Yeah. And maybe there's some of you this morning in your struggle in life. You feel like you're not on the motorcycle. You feel like you've been run over by the motorcycle. and you need deliverance. Let me tell you this, for the very basic thing that you need to understand about all of this, God has come to deliver you, ultimately deliver you. You see, God has a design for your life. He had a design for the world. And you and I, and just like everybody else in the world, have looked at God's good, perfect design, and we said, nah, I don't need that. I'm going to do my own design. You do you, I'll do me. That's what you've told God. And I've told him that too. And I've shaken my fist into his face and said, I'll be the king of my own life. And just like everybody else in the world, and just like you, that's not gone well for you. That's called sin, by the way. The Bible calls that sin. Anytime we turn our back on God's goodness and God's best for us, it's called sin. We turn our back on that, and what's happened then, we've experienced this brokenness in life. Things have been broken. It might be things that you have done, and it's also things that have been done to you, but it's brokenness all around. Every person in the world has experienced this brokenness, and so have you. And then what happens is when you and I experience this brokenness, we start grasping for ways to get out of the brokenness. And all that does is ends up making more brokenness. And if we had time, I could get 100 people to walk up here and tell us examples of things that are broken in your life. I get that. I get it. I've lived through some of that. I've watched my family live through some of that. Some of those things were done to them, done to us, and some of those things we're just guilty of. You see, we know there's a good design, and we've rebelled against that design. That's led to just brokenness. But the Bible says this, there's really, really good news. We call it the gospel, and that's really what the gospel means. It means good news, that Jesus, that God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to restore the brokenness in our life, to restore you, to deliver you from death and hell, from corruption, to deliver you from the one that has come to steal and to kill and destroy, to deliver you from wrath. Jesus has come to deliver you. And the Bible says it this way, that we have to repent, to turn away from our sin. So turn away from the sin, the brokenness, all those things that we keep grasping after. Turn away from that and trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. And here's the beautiful thing. What happens when we do that, when you turn from brokenness and trust Jesus, turn from your sin and trust Jesus, then you can pursue that good and perfect design, that good and perfect plan that God has originally put into place. And you can experience true deliverance when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, you still will have days where you feel like you got run over by the motorcycle. Let's make it an 18-wheeler. You feel like you just got hit. But you've got a promise that that good and perfect design is coming. And that one day you will be ultimately delivered. And so whether it's a situation that you have in your life right now that's pressing on you, you're a follower of Jesus, you want to do what's right, you want to follow him, but there's this thing that's broken, this thing that you need to be delivered from. It could be the death of a loved one, it could be a sickness, it could be a boss, it could be a job situation, it could be a relational situation, it could be any, whatever sphere of life you're finding this issue in. I believe. We admit that we can't handle it. We pray for God's deliverance. We act and trust. We trust on that promise, and we act on what he has told us, and then we thank him. You may be sitting there, and you're like, man, that's a really simple formula. Life doesn't really work in formulas. I know. But if you don't have a plan, I like my plan better than yours. I had a professor that would always tell me that. Makes sense. It's a good plan. Is it going to fail in some area? I still believe God's in control. God is totally in control. And so whether he answers your prayer with the flexing of his mighty arms and shows you some display of his act, or whether he answers your prayer by you doing something, he still answers your prayer. So whether there's a situation that's pressing on you, or you just know right now, without a shadow of a doubt, that you need to surrender to this God that loves you to ultimately deliver you. No matter where you find yourself, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and to pray and seek God on these things. And then the band's going to come and lead us in one more song. And it's a song about remembering, a song about remembering his deliverance. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. And just for the sake of you being obedient to God, and just for the sake of me knowing how to pray, let me ask this question. Right now in your life, is there something that you need to be delivered from? Why don't you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Okay. That's a major portion of the room. You can put your hand down. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are a God that delivers. We know that you are a God that provides. We don't understand all of the circumstances, but we do understand and know that you are in control of those circumstances. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters and the men and women that are identifying with the fact that there's an issue in their life. I pray, God, that you would help them to remember that they need you and that they can do nothing without you. Father, that you would give them the courage and the boldness to take this thing constantly in prayer. Father, that you would provide them a truth from your scripture for them to really rest in and to sink their teeth into. And Father, that you would give them the courage to act on this thing that you have put before them. And I pray, Father, that they would be sure to give you thanks. And so, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. Father, we pray, God, that you would heal relationships, that you would heal mental issues, that you, Father, that you would bring all of these things into your good, perfect design. Whether, Lord, it is through your mighty acts or through our acting and doing along with you, but Father, we'll be sure to give you glory for all of this. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.